We started a new series here at Sanage, and if you were with us, either online or in person, you remember me mentioning that as we enter 2022, we need Jesus to use this time of disruption to disrupt us. We need God the Father to move powerfully in our midst, and we need a deep transformational encounter with the Spirit of God. In other words, as we enter 2022, we need revival. I shared with you this great definition of revival. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifest on earth as it is in heaven. I also mentioned last week that revival starts always with a person or a small group of people. They become sparks from which a community of Christ followers is set ablaze by the Holy Spirit. And when a community of Christ followers are set afire by the Holy Spirit or set ablaze for God by the Holy Spirit, they become the spark that sets the city on fire. And I said last week, let's be that spark. And this series, Do It Again, is intended to help us do just that. And today what I want to do is lay an important foundation for this series. I want us today to talk about Jesus' mission and his message. So let's start with his message. You can't read any of the Gospels without catching Jesus' central message, which was the good news that the kingdom of God was breaking in, that the presence and the rule and the reign of God was at hand. Mark 1:15 says this, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." From the very first moment of his ministry, Jesus proclaimed the message of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. It was the number one thing Jesus talked about. He spoke more about the kingdom of God than anything else. His central theme, his primary message was the kingdom of God was at hand. And his words and his miracles and his teaching all announced that the kingdom was breaking in. Throughout his ministry, Jesus heralded this message, which includes both personal reconciliation and the redemption of all things. We all know human sin is very real. We all know that the effects of human sin is it separates. It separates us from God. It separates us from others. It even separates us from ourselves. And that's why every person needs to come to the cross of Christ and surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior and experience forgiveness and start on a journey towards wholeness, towards becoming the people that Jesus wants us to be. But the gospel, the good news Jesus came proclaiming, doesn't end there. From a biblical perspective, salvation extends far beyond the personal to seeing God redeem and restore the whole of creation. Paul in Colossians 1 wrote about the scope of God's redemptive work, and he says this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself," notice this, "all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." God's goal is the redemption of all creation. You see that in the book of Revelation. That's why the good news Jesus and the early church proclaimed was far grander, far more life-changing, much more compelling than just going to heaven when you die. The gospel Jesus and his early church proclaimed was a gospel of liberation and life transformation. Bodies and minds were healed. Demons were cast out. Lives were restored. People were redeemed. Communities were transformed. The gospel Jesus and his early church proclaimed was a gospel that turned the world upside down. Jim Wallace of Sojourners has said this: a gospel message that doesn't try to change the world and that concentrates only on individuals works only for those who don't need the world to be changed. Therefore, it ends up being too white, too privileged, too male, and too North American. Today, we need to once again grasp the grandeur and the beauty and the redemptive scope that Jesus came proclaiming. A message of liberation and transformation. A message of life, eternal life, that starts now and carries on into eternity. We also see in the Gospels that Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God as both a present and a future reality. Jesus said the kingdom of God was at hand, but he also said the kingdom of God would come. Think of it this way. In the life of Jesus, we see the inauguration of the kingdom of God. In the second coming of Jesus, we will see the fullness of the kingdom of God. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. Today, we live in between those two realities. I've said many times to you that the cross and the resurrection was God's D-Day. Evil and victory were defeated at the cross and through the resurrection. Death was defeated at the cross and through the resurrection. And one day there's going to be God's victory day when the kingdom will come in all its fullness. And what happened on D-Day will be fully realized. And there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth. But between God's D-Day and God's victory day is this in-between time. And that's where we live. We live in this in-between time. And when we understand that we live in this in-between time, when we live between these two realities, we can learn to live with the tension of seeing tremendous kingdom breakthroughs and also see deep pain and heartache as well. Because you see, we live in a world where there are two kingdoms in conflict. In this in-between time, there are two kingdoms in conflict. There's a battle going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we're caught up in this cosmic battle. One day, his kingdom will fully come. In the meantime, we live in this in-between time. And in this in-between time, it's a time when God's will is not completely done on earth as it is in heaven. Many things are happening on earth today that are contrary to God's will. That's why Jesus told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come. Your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told us to pray that his kingdom, to pray and ask for his kingdom to come more fully to earth so that earth would become more like heaven. Which leads to the question, what does it look like when heaven invades earth? What does it actually look like when God's kingdom comes to earth? What does it actually look like when that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, starts to get answered? What does that look like? Well, those questions bring us to Jesus' mission. Let me take you back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus began his public ministry somewhere around the age of 30. And he spent his previous years before that as a carpenter in a small town near the Sea of Galilee. But after his baptism in the Jordan River, and after 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus made a startling debut on the public scene. After Jesus returned from the wilderness, he headed back to his hometown of Nazareth. And there he went to the synagogue to worship on the Sabbath. That would have been the same synagogue he grew up in. The people there knew him. They knew his family. And they thought of Jesus as a simple carpenter. And on that particular Sabbath, it was Jesus' turn to read from the scriptures. He was handed the scroll of the book of Isaiah. And out of all the passages in the book of Isaiah, he chose Isaiah 61. The people knew exactly what that passage was. It was well established that Isaiah 61 was a prophetic word about the coming of the Messiah. And there's the carpenter. He's got the scroll of Isaiah 61, a prophetic word about the Messiah. And he stands there in front of the others, and Jesus begins to read aloud. And this is what he read, Luke 14, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then get this. He rolls up that scroll, and then Jesus says this. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Not only was Jesus there saying he was the Messiah, he was also announcing his mission. This was, if you will, his Nazarene manifesto, his mission statement. As theologian Scott McKnight says, Jesus was anointed by God to proclaim the gospel, the good news to the poor, and to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovered sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. That is why he came. These are his words. Jesus got his job description from Isaiah. What Isaiah predicted would happen is what Jesus is saying he is doing. It is his mission. Not only by reading the scripture was Jesus declaring that he was the Messiah, he was also telling the people what his mission was. And Jesus' mission was to bring good news to the poor and healing to the brokenhearted and liberty to the captives and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is the year of Jubilee, when debts are forgiven. Do you see it? When the kingdom of God breaks in, it is good news to the poor. It's the homeless finding a home. It's the thirsty finding clean drinking water. That's the kingdom of God breaking in. It's the brokenhearted, being healed. It's the captives finding liberation. It's the chains of addiction falling off. It's the blind seeing. It's those under oppressive systems finding liberation. It's the demonized being released. And it's the sinner finding forgiveness. That's what it looks like when the kingdom of God breaks in. Jesus' message, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus' mission was to proclaim the good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Next week, we're going to look at how Jesus went about proclaiming the message and fulfilling his mission. We're going to look at that next week. Here's what I want to leave us with today. Jesus' mission is our mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. Jesus, our risen King, has said to us, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Jesus is sending us out on a mission, his mission, a mission to bring good news to the poor and redemption for the sinner and healing to the brokenhearted and liberty to the captives and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed. Jesus is calling us to be kingdom bringers, people who advance the kingdom of God by pushing back the oppression and the despair and the injustice and the hopelessness and the brokenness and the poverty of the enemy's kingdom. People who tell others about Jesus, who share Jesus with others so that they can find forgiveness and wholeness as well. People who pray and see miracles happen in answer to their prayers. People who bring up there, down here. People who say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And they start to see it happen because the Spirit is moving through them. Let me take you back to that definition of revival. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. I read this week about a pastor who told of seeing the kingdom of God break in while he was enjoying a steak dinner with some friends at a restaurant. During the dinner, one of his group got up to go use the restroom. And on her way back from the restroom, she noticed one of the servers had a leg problem. She seemed to be in a lot of pain and she was limping. And as this woman looked at the server with this leg problem, she felt the Spirit prompt her to go pray for that woman. And so the lady walked over to the server and she said to the server, I know you have a leg problem. Do you mind if I pray for you? And the server said, no, go ahead, pray for me. And so this lady in the middle of this restaurant prayed for the server. And the server was healed. The limp went away, the pain went away, the problem was healed. Not only was she healed, there on the spot, after she realized she was healed, the server gave her life to Jesus. Well, the lady went back to her table and the server went into the kitchen and she told all the other staff what had happened. Suddenly, one staff person after another were coming to this group's table asking for prayer. That night in the restaurant, they saw healing after healing, followed by salvation after salvation. You see, that night, the kingdom of God broke into that restaurant. Now, healing isn't the only way we see the kingdom of God break in, but that night in that restaurant, that's how the kingdom of God broke in. That's how heaven came to earth. Imagine for a moment if the Holy Spirit was poured out on us and we became so full of the Spirit that the Spirit moved freely through us to bring heaven to earth here in Victoria. Imagine that. Imagine if we were so full of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit moved freely through us to bring heaven to earth here in Victoria. Good news to the poor. Healing to the brokenhearted. Liberty to the captives. Sight to the blind. Freedom to the oppressed. Forgiveness to the sinner. Let's pray. Let's pray for heaven to come to earth. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray with both boldness and expectancy for bodies and minds to be healed, for evil to be cast out, for lives to be restored, for people to be redeemed, for communities to be transformed. Let's pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Demolish strongholds, break the chains of addiction, heal sick bodies, free the oppressed, forgive sin, heal the broken, restore marriages. Lord, bring people into a life-transforming relationship with you. Let's pray for a revival and a great move of God, and let's pray to be that spark. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that that's what would happen here as we move through 2022, that we would be the spark, that you would pour out your Spirit on us collectively and individually in such an amazing way that the Spirit would just flow through us to bring heaven to earth. Lord, do it again. Do it again. In Jesus' name, amen.